Time to say hello to Dr. Mark Welch, Green Marking Specialist, Texas A&M College Station. What's going on, Mark?
Well, good morning, Todd. Good to be with you this morning.
Well, I'm going crazy in here as usual. This will be the 11th year of doing this gig over here, man. June 11th of 2015.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, happy birthday, anniversary, however you count that. But great deal. Starting to get put together quite a legacy there. So appreciate the good work that you're doing.
The boss next door said, if I work 15 hours today, I can take a couple hours off.
There you go. Just you know, take off early. That's right.
Take off at 6 instead of working until 7.
There you go. Well, I know there's lots of moving parts and lots of pieces to keep that thing going, and we do appreciate it.
Hey, man, we got WADZI coming up this morning, 11 o'clock for the month of June. What are we thinking on today's report?
Yeah, starting on the domestic side, if you think about the wheat market, that's where I'm looking at. We could possibly see some changes around the yield number, maybe the harvested area number when it comes to wheat. You know, that's such a of our other major crops. You know, wheat would be the one, well, aside for cotton, that may be from the planted acres, what actually get harvested has quite a bit of variability. We know there's a lot of abandonment in the cotton market, and we know that with wheat, there's other uses for the crop with, you know, forage or grazing. So it's harder to get a handle on that, maybe that harvested number. But we did see the crop condition ratings for the hard red winter wheat crop did slip up again a little bit this week. And so it'll be interesting to see what USDA does with the wheat yield. Perhaps offsetting that, however, the early season crop condition ratings for spring wheat got better. So is that going to be enough of a trade-off to hold the production number? And then on use categories, we've had quite a few cancellations in the wheat market for the old crop, which the marketing year ended on May 31st. But much of those sales transferred immediately right over to the new crop, 2026 wheat crop. And, you know, the customers who are making the biggest cancellations for old crop wheat were the same people or same countries who were then making the biggest purchases in the new crop. So will there be any, you know, net, you know, fallout from that on the wheat market? So that's kind of what I think some question marks there. When it comes to corn, I can't imagine there'd be too much on the supply side that USDA would adjust at this point. We've got some crop condition ratings coming out early that look very favorable to support their yield estimate at this time. Of course, we've only had a couple of weeks of reports. Crops just really getting up and going. Acres, we'll have a better idea at the end of June when we get the acreage report from USDA on that one. So I don't expect a lot of changes on the domestic front, particularly in the corn market. But on wheat, we might see something on the supply side if there's some tweaks to the yield.
Did I lose you?
Oh, I'm still here. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, all of a sudden it just kind of went away for a second there. I thought you were playing an April Fool's joke on me.
No. If I'm fooling, this is not a joke. And then back to the WASDE. You know, there, and of course, then you go to the global supply numbers. I have seen some early estimates that Brazil and Argentina's crops are looking a little bit better. You know, might we bump those supplies up a little bit? And one of the big overarching concerns around global production, given the steep rise in fertilizer prices, is how much that might affect, you know, global crop production. Where you take a country like Brazil, that is so heavily dependent on fertilizer imports, and you know, they've got to keep that ground. They can't really fudge on putting out fertilizer year to year. They've got to, you know, if they're going to push yield potential, they've got to really push their inputs. And so with these higher prices, well, that, you know, somewhere down the road, perhaps affect you know, crop growth and production increases in a place like Brazil. So we'll see how that plays out. I did see a report this week that perhaps urea, nitrogen fertilizer, was coming down perhaps even to the pre-conflict area from, go back to the first part of March, that the urea prices had fallen off quite a bit. So we'll see if that holds or not. Of course, a lot of urea fertilizer comes out of the Middle East. And in the U.S., you know, we produce over 90% of the nitrogen fertilizer that we use. So, you know, we're not heavily dependent on that. But what might the global ramifications be? So, you know, that's just kind of a backdrop or, an issue running in the background when we get Wall Street reports or think about global production. You know, maybe not so much in your short term, of course, but as we're this fall, which is spring in South America, when they're planting their crops, and then even for U.S. producers that we start to look at 2027, you know, what these this fertilizer and fuel market might look like at that point.
Well, how's the crop conditions around Central Texas where you're buzzing around the old roads?
Yeah, I'm really anxious. The next 3 weeks, I've got three crop tours. So I'm heading out this morning, heading down toward south and west of Houston, Brazoria County, Matagorda County is where I'm going today, which is, you know, just down there along the coast. Some really good farmland down in that part of the world. My understanding is that a lot of that coastal bend country up into Central Texas, crops look really, really good. Boy, the pastures are green. We've just had, you know, consistent rain over the last several weeks. Hasn't been too terribly hot. Starting to feel like, you know, summer now, but it's really aided crop development. So in this part of the world, crop looks really good, and I expect to see some outstanding crops when I get down there to Matagorda County here this afternoon. I think that, of course, in South Texas, they've got some drought relief down there, but it's come late. So I don't know what that's going to do to their commodity production. I do know that the restrictions around water resources are certainly hurting their vegetable and truck crops. So they're, you know, really struggling down in that part of the state. But whether they got enough rain to help a milo or a cotton crop, I just haven't gotten good reading on that one for our folks down in South Texas. But otherwise, if you look at the drought map, the drought monitor that will get updated here today, you know, there's a big chunk of, Central Texas, even stretching all the way out to El Paso, down past San Antonio, back over to Houston, that is drought-free here in June in Texas, all the way up to the Red River, which is pretty incredible, especially when you contrast that with the severe conditions that up in the Panhandle that y'all are still suffering through and stretches up into, that part of western Oklahoma and just on the edge of southwestern Kansas. To see that, you know, dark red colors up in y'all's part of the world, when you get down off the cap and, you know, break down toward Sweetwater and over into kind of the rolling plains, crop conditions get a lot better. As in many cases, it kind of depends on where you are, how the production prospects are looking for 2026.
It was 101 degrees yesterday here, so not too bad.
Good grief. That sounds kind of like a wheat cutting weather. If you had some wheat to cut.
Got some weeds, but not any wheat.
Well, right. When you get that furnace blasting, you can get out in the field, start cutting pretty early and run pretty late at night when you get that kind of heat and the humidity goes down. That's about time for wheat harvest. In fact, you may have some relief on the horizon. And of course, you know, talking about those good crop condition ratings and everything looks favorable. If you look back to the drought map, you know, most of the Corn Belt looks pretty clear. There's a little bit of moderately dry area in the northern part of Iowa and northern Illinois. A little bit that's, it's the lowest categories of drought reflection. But generally, pretty favorable. But we're at that time of year that we have those domes of high pressure that can move in and create some, intense weather events in a short period of time. So we're a long way from done on this crop. But at this point, unless we get a surprise on the acres, which we could at the end of June, given all the turmoil that was taking place around March and April when crops were really getting planted, what's our acres going to be? At this point, the yield potential looks pretty solid, for this 2026 corn crop in particular. Wheat, well, we just got its combines run. I've heard some very wheat that looked not that bad, but when the combines got out there, it was very disappointing in what it made. There just wasn't wheat in the head like they thought it looked like that it might produce. So I think there's a lot of variability yet ahead of us on this winter wheat crop. Again, the conditions on the corn crop look pretty solid.
Inflation report this week showing a jump there for the first time in 3 years. So you knew it was coming. We got to pay high prices for gas and everything.
Right. You're right. It wasn't a matter of if, it was how much, was it, when we got this new inflation report. And it is primarily energy, of course. In April, the energy component of the consumer price index, prices were up 18% in that entire energy component. In May, they were up 23.5%. And that obviously sets the tone for a lot of things. So if energy prices are higher, you know, anything that you buy or sell, that you move by a truck or plane or a ship that's moving, it's going to cost more to do it. So that just even builds, more into the entire cost structure of whatever we're doing. So that was a pretty stark report that came out. You're right, 4.2%. Today, we will get the producer price index. Now, that's inflation at the wholesale level.
That comes out like in a half hour, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think it'll come out here at 7:30 or early this morning, yes. And so that often tells us, if you've got inflation at the wholesale level, those producers are likely going to pass that on at the consumer level if they can. We had a sharp increase in that last month. So we'll see if that is sustained higher as well, or maybe seeing a little bit of relief, at the on that producer inflation level. So again, that'll come out today and gives a little more complete picture of the inflation prospects. But certainly, much higher prices. We had a jobs report. The jobs numbers were still pretty solid. The Fed meets next week, and with high inflation and a pretty solid jobs report, I can't imagine they're going to cut rates. In fact, I bet we'll see in the notes of that meeting a discussion of at what point should they start raising rates if we continue to see this inflation pressure hitting the economy. I don't think they'll raise them, now. But in this month's meeting, they will also provide individual projections. What do they think inflation is going to do? What do they think GDP growth is going to do? What do they think unemployment is going to do? And what do they think the interest rate ought to be in response to those economic conditions? And so I think that's very insightful, and just kind of where their head's at as they're viewing the economy and the threats and opportunities that they see. So very interesting report coming out of the Federal Open Market Committee of the Federal Reserve next week when they meet to set interest rates or the federal funds rate.
Usually when we have a war, we have a recession or a depression. So we're kind of defying the odds here with everything going on.
It really is. Stock market, of course, with all the trying to think of the right adjective to describe all the excitement around AI and these new ventures and opportunities for investors. A lot of that has driven the stock market higher. In the midst of the war and the turmoil that we've had with Iran, not that we're insulated, but it's certainly there's a lot going on that drives the markets and market conditions, and to see the stock market staying relatively strong through all this is pretty incredible. I think does highlight the degree to which the U.S. economy, that our energy independence has given us such a resiliency. If we'd have done this, you probably don't remember this, 50 years ago, in the 1970s, when OPEC or oil disruption down the Middle East hit the markets, it would just crater our economy. We're not as reliant on that part of the world as we used to be. But back to that fertilizer situation, we're not reliant on that part of the world for our nitrogen fertilizer. But, it does still, prices and disruptions have impacts. But, it's amazing how resilient the economy has been, and we've demonstrated with all the turmoil going on globally.
Safe travels to your field day today, man. We'll crank it up again next Thursday.
Sounds good, Todd. We'll look forward to that. Love to keep the conversation going. If you have any questions or comments for me or like to hear from you, best way to do that would be to shoot me an email at jmwelch@tamu.edu. Thank you much.